This article is brought to you by the best-selling book series Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the confidence-competence loop explains why difficult conversations get easier with practice. The mechanism behind why every hard conversation makes the next one less frightening. In short, the confidence-competence loop is not a theory. It is the actual mechanism behind why difficult conversations stop feeling impossible over time. Confidence in hard conversations does not come first. Competence does, built through practice. One conversation at a time. Every difficult conversation you complete is evidence your nervous system stores and uses to reduce fear before the next one. Avoidance runs the same loop in reverse, quietly eroding whatever courage you once had. Definition: the confidence-competence loop is a self-reinforcing cycle, where practice in difficult conversations builds real competence. Small successes from that competence rebuild confidence, and renewed confidence drives further practice, creating compounding improvement over time. Most people assume that some individuals are simply born with the ability to handle difficult conversations without flinching. They watch a colleague address a conflict directly or deliver hard feedback without stumbling, and they think that person is just wired differently. I used to think that too. What I learned after decades of watching people communicate under pressure is that the difference is almost never personality. The confidence-competence loop explains what is actually happening, and once you see it clearly, it changes how you approach every hard conversation you've been putting off. What the confidence-competence loop actually means in practice. Most people have heard some version of this idea: confidence grows when you take action, but hearing it and understanding the mechanism beneath it are two different things. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe the confidence-competence loop as a self-reinforcing cycle with a very specific structure, and the structure matters because it tells you exactly where to intervene. Here is how it works. You prepare for a difficult conversation, which is itself an act of courage. You have that conversation imperfectly because all first attempts are imperfect. Something useful happens. You realize you did not fall apart. You may not have said everything perfectly, but you manage. That experience goes into your memory as evidence. The next time a similar situation arises, your nervous system does a quick threat assessment, and the evidence is already there. The situation is still uncomfortable, but it is no longer unknown. Discomfort you recognize is far easier to move through than discomfort you cannot predict. That reduced fear makes you slightly more willing to engage the next time. Slightly more willingness means slightly better preparation. Slightly better preparation produces slightly better execution. Slightly better execution produces a slightly better outcome. The outcome adds to the evidence base. The loop turns again, now with more momentum than before. The key insight in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time is this: confidence is not a prerequisite for the difficult conversation. It is the result of it. We wait to feel ready, but readiness does not arrive in advance. It arrives in the aftermath of having tried. Every person I have watched grow into a skilled communicator went through this exact sequence, whether they knew it or not. Why your nervous system treats hard conversations as physical threats. Before you can use the confidence-competence loop deliberately, you need to understand why difficult conversations feel so threatening in the first place. The anxiety is not irrational. It is just misdirected. When you anticipate a hard conversation, your brain processes it as a social threat, and social threat activates many of the same fear responses as physical danger. This is what I call the amygdala hijack in difficult conversation situations. The thinking part of your brain partially steps aside, and the survival part takes over. Your heart rate rises. Your thinking narrows. You start rehearsing catastrophic outcomes. The conversation has not even begun, and you're already managing a physiological response. Here is what this means practically. The anxiety you feel before a difficult conversation is not evidence that the conversation will go badly. It is evidence that you care about the outcome. In Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe conversation anxiety as a green light, not a stop sign. That nervous energy can be directed into sharper preparation, more careful listening, and more deliberate word choice. The people who handle conflict well are not less anxious. They have simply learned to interpret their anxiety differently. The practical action that follows from this is straightforward: prepare before you feel ready. Use a structure. Know your opening line. Know what outcome you are working toward. Preparation reduces the number of unknowns your nervous system is trying to defend against, which reduces the intensity of the fear response, which makes the conversation itself more manageable. That managed conversation becomes the first turn of the loop. The compound effect of avoided conversations. There is a shadow version of the confidence-competence loop, and it is worth naming directly. In Chapter 13 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe the compound effect applied to communication, and it runs in both directions. Every time you complete a difficult conversation, the loop builds capacity. Every time you avoid one, the loop runs in reverse. One avoided conversation does not stay contained. It creates a small residue of unresolved tension. That tension colours the relationship slightly, but enough to make the next conversation feel even harder. You now have the original topic to address plus a layer of accumulated discomfort from the delay. Avoidance compounds. This is how people end up in situations where a conversation that should take 10 minutes has been left for 3 months and now feels insurmountable. I have seen this pattern repeat across workplaces for 6 decades. A manager avoids giving clear feedback to a struggling team member. Weeks pass. The issue grows. The manager now feels guilty about the delay, anxious about the size of the problem, and uncertain about how to address the history as well as the present situation. What started as a straightforward performance conversation has become a complex and emotionally loaded event. The avoidance created a problem far larger than the original one. The practical consequence is this: the best time to have a difficult conversation is the first time it needs to happen, not the moment when it cannot be avoided any longer. Smaller conversations, addressed early, are the raw material of the confidence-competence loop. They give you manageable practice. Delayed conversations are the opposite: high stakes, high emotion, and low skill conditions. They set you up to fail, and a failed conversation at the wrong moment can temporarily stall the loop entirely. If you want to understand how to start a difficult conversation before avoidance compounds the problem, the earlier you move, the smaller the problem you are actually solving. What the loop looks like when it is working. Let me give you a concrete picture of this mechanism in motion, because the loop is easy to miss while you're living through it. A team leader, Sarah, has a direct report who consistently misses deadlines. She has been letting it slide, telling herself it will sort itself out. It does not. She finally decides to address it. She prepares, she writes down specific examples she will reference, she clarifies what outcomes she is looking for, and she thinks through how she wants to open. The conversation is uncomfortable. Her voice is steadier than she'd expected. The team member is surprised, but not defensive. They agree on a specific plan. Sarah walks away unsettled, but not destroyed. She notices that she did not freeze. She handled a moment of pushback without retreating. 2 weeks later, she needs to address a different issue with a different person. She feels less dread than she did before the first conversation. Not none, but less. She prepares again, with slightly more confidence that preparation works. The second conversation goes better than the first. She is inside the confidence-competence loop, and it is turning. The pattern I have observed is that people rarely notice the loop working in the moment. They notice it in retrospect, when they realize they handled something this week that they would have avoided entirely 6 months ago. That retrospective recognition is itself a useful practice. Reflection, as I describe and say it right every time, it's what converts raw experience into skill that transfers forward. For anyone interested in how this loop applies specifically to feedback situations, the article on why some people give better feedback traces the same mechanism into that particular context. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emunblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why most people cannot see the loop while they are in it. The confidence-competence loop goes unrecognized for a specific reason: it is slow and invisible at first, and we tend to attribute the results to anything but practice. When someone handles a conflict well, observers attribute it to confidence, charisma, or emotional intelligence. They rarely credit the 30 previous conversations that person navigated awkwardly before they got good at it. The result looks like a trait, when it is actually a skill built over time. This attribution error keeps people stuck, because if you believe confident communicators were born that way, you have no model for how to become one yourself. There's also a measurement problem. Difficult conversations do not come with scorecards. You leave a conversation and have no clear sense of whether you did well or poorly. Without feedback, it is easy to discount the progress you are actually making. You remember the moments you fumbled and forget the moments you held your ground. This is why How the Confidence Competence Loop explains why some managers handle workplace tension better than others is such a useful lens for anyone in a leadership role. It reframes the gap between struggling managers and skilled ones not as a personality difference, but as a practice difference. The third reason the loop goes unrecognized is anticipatory anxiety. You feel the dread before the conversation, which feels like evidence that you're not good at this. But anticipatory anxiety, as I explain in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, is a prediction, not a measurement. It tells you what your nervous system is afraid might happen, not what will actually happen. Every time you have the conversation anyway and come through it, you're updating that prediction with actual evidence. Over time, the prediction becomes more accurate and less catastrophic. How to accelerate the loop deliberately? Understanding the mechanism is useful. Knowing how to speed it up is more useful still. The first accelerant is preparation. I introduce the Strong method in Say It Right Every Time as a 6-step pre-conversation ritual. State your intention, take a breath, respect all perspectives, offer specific examples, navigate to solutions, and gain commitment to action. Used consistently before difficult conversations, it removes the guesswork from the early part of each exchange and gives you structure to lean on when your thinking narrows under pressure. Structure is what separates a deliberate practice from a repeated struggle. The second accelerant is the conversation premortem. Before a difficult conversation, sit quietly and name the worst realistic outcome. Then ask yourself how likely it actually is and what you would do if it happened. This exercise, which I outline in Chapter 6, does something counterintuitive by walking through the feared outcome in advance. You reduce its power. The unknown is what drives most pre-conversation anxiety. Once you have named it and prepared for it, it becomes a contingency rather than a threat. The third accelerant is recovery. My 3-step mistake recovery process, acknowledge, correct, and move on, matters here because nobody runs the loop cleanly. You will say something that lands wrong. You will fumble a word or lose your thread. The people who build genuine skill are not the ones who never make mistakes in difficult conversations. They are the ones who recover without unraveling. A clean recovery in the middle of a hard conversation builds confidence faster than a smooth conversation ever will. You learn you can handle going wrong, which means you stop treating the possibility of going wrong as a reason to avoid the conversation. For a structured approach to staying composed when a conversation takes a difficult turn, the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers defensiveness gives you a practical method you can apply immediately. And if the relationship itself has broken down and needs rebuilding, the bridge method for repairing working relationships after genuine breakdown addresses the next stage of that work. The fourth accelerant is reflection. After each difficult conversation, ask yourself 2 questions. What did I handle better than I expected? And what would I adjust next time? This is not self-criticism. It is the process that converts experience into transferable skill. Without it, you repeat the same conversation patterns indefinitely. With it, each conversation becomes a lesson that improves the next one. You can also find support for using the Confidence Competence Loop to make team conversations less frightening through structured reflection after group exchanges. The long game of difficult conversations. Here is the truth of it. The Confidence Competence Loop does not promise that difficult conversations will ever feel easy. What it promises is something more durable. They will feel manageable. The discomfort changes character. It moves from feeling like a threat to feeling like effort, and effort is something skilled people are willing to sustain. I have watched people transform their communication over time, not through personality, change or sudden insight, but through consistent practice. One conversation, then another, then another. Mistakes made and recovered from. Patterns noticed and adjusted. The quality of their working relationships shifted. Their willingness to address problems early increased. Their reputation for directness and fairness grew, because those things are the natural byproduct of someone who does not avoid what needs to be said. For anyone who wants to take the compound effect seriously over a structured period, Say It Right Every Time includes a 60-day transformation plan built on exactly this principle. Small, consistent practice in difficult conversations, progressively building skill and confidence together. It is a confidence competence loop made into a daily structure. The core framework also applies beyond feedback situations. The core approach to staying grounded during any tense workplace conversation gives you a repeatable method for the moments when a conversation shifts unexpectedly and you need to stay present. This much I know for certain: the people who avoid difficult conversations do not escape the cost of them. They carry that cost in resentment, in stalled relationships, in problems that grow in the silence. The people who practice them imperfectly and consistently find that the confidence-competence loop eventually does what all self-reinforcing systems do: it builds something that holds. Frequently asked questions. What is the confidence-competence loop? The confidence-competence loop is a self-reinforcing cycle where practice builds real skill, small successes from that skill rebuild confidence, and renewed confidence drives further practice. In difficult conversations, it explains why each attempt makes the next one feel less threatening, even when the topic stays hard. Why do difficult conversations feel easier with practice? Each time you complete a difficult conversation, your brain updates its threat assessment. You have evidence now that you survived, adapted, and managed. That evidence reduces anticipatory anxiety before the next conversation and increases your willingness to engage, which builds further competence over time. How does the confidence-competence loop start when you have no confidence at all? You start with preparation, not feeling. Use a structured approach before any difficult conversation. Clarify your intention, prepare your opening line, and name the worst realistic outcome. That preparation creates a small first action, which produces a small first result, which begins the loop from scratch. What breaks the confidence-competence loop in difficult conversations? Avoidance breaks it fastest. Every conversation you sidestep confirms to your nervous system that the situation was genuinely dangerous. Avoidance compounds. One avoided conversation leads to resentment. Resentment leads to more avoidance. The loop then runs in reverse, eroding the confidence you once had. How long does it take for difficult conversations to feel natural? There is no fixed timeline. What I can tell you is that the shift is usually noticeable within 6 to 10 honest attempts at conversations you previously avoided. The discomfort does not disappear, but it changes character. It begins to feel like effort rather than threat, which is a meaningful difference. Can you speed up the confidence-competence loop deliberately? Yes. Reflect after every conversation, not just successful ones. Ask what you handled well and what you would adjust. Reflection converts raw experience into usable skill faster than repetition alone. Preparation before each conversation also shortens the learning curve by reducing the variable of what to say. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.